I'm Suzy Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Suzy Larson Live. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you're walking through a battle right now, you may wonder, why is the enemy attacking me? And how will I get through this? And what is God up to in the middle of it all? Where is He anyway? Well, every Friday during the month of August, we've talked about how to be strong in battle, how to discern if we're giving the enemy easy access to our lives, and even how to understand what God is looking for in us as we navigate our trials. Well, today, it's our fourth Friday, so our fourth and final. It's been so precious getting this time with you. We're going to talk about what it means to trust Him, that it's time to trust Him more. And my prayer is that you get just a bigger and grander picture of who God is by the end of the hour, where you feel your faith just rising up, your confidence in God just surging, and you're just reminded afresh of this God that we serve. A quick announcement. We've got, another week and a half of open registration for our free Strong in Battle online study. Again, you don't need the book to participate. You're going to get an email every week with some content from the book, with a prayer, with some reflective questions, with a meme, with a little audio, a personalized audio clip where I just speak a little bit to the topic and then pray a blessing over you. And then we'll be doing weekly live streams. So that registration closes September 5th. So again, it's free. You can hop on our website after the show, myfaithradio.com. And thanks to my publisher and partnering with them, we've been able to give away 20 copies this month of Strong in Battle. So today we're giving away the five final copies of Strong in Battle, Why the Humble Will Prevail. And each copy will come with a 10-pack of quote cards. They're gorgeous scenic cards with quotes from the book. Like, here's one. It's a hiker walking through this path in the woods on a gorgeous fall day. And it says, our setbacks are actually setups for that great day when God announces to all creation that we belong to Him. Our God is meticulous and miraculous. If you want in on the drawing, you can text the word book to 877-933-2484. Yes, we're talking about it's time to trust Him more. And I've quoted Maria last week on this, but I want to say it again because I think it's so powerful. She says, God wants you to be a calm, confident conqueror who fears nothing, trusts God in everything, knowing that the Lord is standing up for you. So this first portion, I want to read actually from the book, from the chapter 7, titled, You Have an Enemy. And I want to just sort of paint a word picture for you. So just sit back. We're having a little story time here, all right? Here you go. In fact, Angie, if I've just thrown this at you. If you have instrumental music to play under me, that would be super awesome. But if not, that's totally okay too. But I want you to picture it, okay? You're standing on the battlefield. You're in an arena. You look to the left and right, and you see several arched doorways with their gates open. Though you don't see them yet, you hear hungry lions roaring in the shadows. You sense they're about to be unleashed into this arena to attack you for sport. In the far distance, you see that enemy himself coming towards you. He's smirking. He's confident. He's headed straight for you. Your breathing becomes shallow. Prickles crawl up your spine. You notice that over each of the arched doorways are words like this: worry, fear, abandonment, what if, and others. You're outnumbered, and immediately you feel overwhelmed. But then you remember Jesus' words in Luke 10:19. He says, look, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. You can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them, and nothing will injure you. Suddenly, a holy surge of confidence shoots through you. You look over to the first doorway where you hear the lion roar. You point to it with authority, the authority that God has given you, and you declare, I say no to worry, and I close that door in Jesus' name. Suddenly, the gate thunders down. It shakes the ground. The lion slinks back in the shadows, and he loses his roar. Then you look at the fear doorway, and you do the same. I say no to fear. I close that door in Jesus' name. One by one, you use your authority to bring down each and every gate. And with every doorway that closes, the lion's roars fade. Something else happens, too. You notice as the enemy gets closer, he's also shriveling. He's shrinking. He's losing steam. When the enemy's weapons of fear, intimidation, and deception no longer work on us, he loses his power over us. Hear that again. When the enemy's weapons of fear, intimidation, and deception no longer work on us, he loses his power over us. Still, he's still coming towards you. He's holding a notebook crammed with information about you. He studied you your whole life. He knows what makes you weak, sad, afraid, discouraged, and he's headed your way. But suddenly, you feel the warmth on your face, and you turn your eyes toward the glow that's coming from your right. You look over to see beautiful, glimmering gate with the words from Scripture that come to mind. Open up, O ancient gates. Open up, O ancient doors, and let the King of glory enter. Faith rises up in you, and you shout, open up, O ancient gates, and let the King of glory enter. To your pure delight, in comes Jesus, with eyes of fire, face aglow, and clothes white as snow. His smile reaches up to his eyes. He's not stressed over this battle. He's really thrilled to see you. He steps in front of you. He prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemy. He seats you at the table, at a place of honor. He brings out the bread, the wine, and the fruit. You look at the bread, and right away you remember he was broken that you might be made whole. You recall Jesus' words when he said, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me. And you remember how he multiplied the loaves and the fishes. You find great significance in the sacred gift of bread on the battlefield. Then you look at the chalice of wine. By his stripes, you're healed. Because of his shed blood and victory on the cross, you are saved. You will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, and you'll learn to love him more than you'll love your very life. Perfect love casts out fear. The more you grow acquainted with God's love, the less you're derailed by your fears. You look into your Savior's eyes and you find yourself strengthened by the divine confidence that emanates from him. You realize there's more power in one drop of the Savior's blood than in all of hell's evil combined. And his blood courses through your veins. You're alive in Christ. His resurrection power is active in you. Oh, to walk and even battle in the God-given power entrusted to you. You determine never, ever to let fear win the day again. The bountiful fruit reminds you of Jesus' words to his disciples and to you. I've appointed you to bear fruit that lasts. It is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. You are made for the abiding life, and fruit comes from intimacy with God. He wants to nourish the world through your beautiful life. Bread, wine, fruit, wholeness, ministry, multiplication, you are part of an otherworldly kingdom. It's no wonder the enemy works so hard to keep you living an earthbound life. If he can keep your gaze on the fears of life, on unloving people, and the stresses of your circumstances, you'll forget there's so much more going on than meets the eye. But when your spiritual eyes open, you realize that you've been given the power to actually do something about the circumstances in your midst. You're on to the enemy's schemes and his continual attempt to pull your gaze downward. You, my friend, are a part of the conquering army of the kingdom of heaven. So you decide to look up and you find your help and your strength in Jesus. Ephesians 1 says this, I pray that you'll understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. The same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. He is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Strongholds are broken. Captives are set free. The lost are found. You have work to do. You're recovering your war. You refuse to be constantly kicked around by your enemy. You suddenly know and believe that this king you serve is far more powerful than you once thought. This means you now have the divine capacity to be mighty and battleable. Yes, the enemy can be a formidable foe. Yes, we sometimes have to engage in hand-to-hand combat when it feels as though our circumstances might crush us. But overwhelming victory belongs to us because we belong to Jesus, our King, our Defender, our Deliverer, our Strong Tower. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Picture yourself running into the strong fortified tower and the door disappearing behind you. There's no opening for the enemy to enter. Only God's children have access to this protected stronghold. You are safe in his care. Spiritual warfare is not something to be taken lightly. The enemy destroys lives and even whole communities in places where evil is allowed to flourish. But one day his schemes will be uncovered and wholly dismantled. He'll forever lose his power to deceive and destroy. And how I long for that day. Yes, we have a very real enemy whose aim is to steal, kill, and destroy. But if we focus solely on him and how he's stirring up trouble, we'll lose heart and courage. We'll forget about the rest of the verse where Jesus says, "But I've come that you might have life and life to the fullest." You know, it's possible to abound in hope and joy and flourish in life, even when we have an enemy hiding in the darkness, hoping to derail us. It's not to say we won't endure seasons when it feels like the furies of hell are aimed at us. But there's a big difference between relief for relief's sake and the supernatural redemption of our stories and hearts. I'm learning to better use my sword and shield. I'm learning things about myself in this battle and about God that I'd somehow missed before. When we find ourselves on the battlefield, we need to clear the field of accompanying emotions and attitudes that make fighting and winning almost impossible. I'm going to say that again. When we find ourselves on the battlefield, we need to clear the field of accompanying emotions and attitudes that make fighting and winning almost impossible. No one can do this for us. No one can do that for us. Fear has to leave. Worry too. Unforgiveness. Ungodly assumptions. Attitudes that usurp authority. Pride, jealousy, judgments, idolatry, hatred. And a host of other heart conditions that open the door to the enemy's influence in our life. He's a legalist, and if we give him opportunity, he'll take it every time. But we can trust God because he's the strength of our heart and our portion forever. We don't dictate our outcomes to God. He dictates what's best for us. But when we humble ourselves, when we hold fiercely to the truth of his word, when we engage our faith with whatever faith, whatever amount of faith we have at the moment, well, God moves. He responds. We find him faithful. And he breaks through exactly when the time is right and when our training is complete. And we'll see over and over again that his ways, his outcomes, his protection, and his provision are consistently motivated by his goodness and his love for us. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we'll talk more about the invitation to trust God more. We'll be back in a minute. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, better on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need, you got. There's honey in the rock. Everything we need, he's got. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. This is our fourth and final Friday, walking through the content of my book, Strong in Battle, Why the Humble Will Prevail. And we've got five more copies to give away today, along with a 10-pack of cards. You just text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And on this fourth and final Friday, we're talking about just the theme that it's time to trust him more. And I'm telling you, when we immerse ourselves in the power, the majesty, the authority of God, the love of God, his personal care of us, that he not only puts the stars in place and calls them each by name, he's well able and wants to bind up your wounds and restore your soul and heal your broken heart. And I often say, if he makes us wait, it's because he makes us ready. But so often, because we get weary in the waiting, because we listen to a voice that's contrary to God's voice, that's when the enemy finds access to our lives. And this is why I love Psalm 37:10. I've talked about it on the show before, but if you're not driving, close your eyes. But if you're driving, keep your eyes open. But I want you to visualize a plot of land that would represent an area of your life where the enemy's gotten away with stealing from you time and time again. Is it your marriage, your health, your kids, your finances, your occupation? But it's just an area where the enemy just sort of has claimed, and you at times feel like he's got it and I don't. Now hear the verse, Psalm 37:10. In a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully for his place, he will not be there. But the humble, they'll inherit the land and delight themselves in an abundance of peace. Here's the thing. I'm challenging you to prayerfully ask God to show you if you've given up any land to the enemy. There's no shame in this. There's no condemnation. Sometimes we wave the white flag of surrender because we're just weary in battle. And other times it's like we don't realize something is ours, so we don't really notice when he takes it from us, but somehow we feel like we're lacking, you know? Other times the enemy just goes after our destiny, our influence, and our capacity for kingdom work by distracting us and lulling us into worldly pursuits that maybe seem enticing but lose their luster after a while and really have no eternal value. And that one is, that loss isn't as immediately felt. That's the loss you're going to feel on the day of account. But I want us to wake up to the robust faith and calling, because you know you're in the sweet spot, even in battle, when your faith is growing and your dependence on God is deepening and your awareness of his power is just becoming more real to you. So ask the Lord to show you, are there places that I've given up, you know, to the enemy where he's stolen from me or distracted me from the better work that you've called me to do? And then ask the Lord, give me a vision for the land that you have for me. And the reason I love this verse in Psalm 37 is because I like to picture myself looking for evidence of the enemy occupation on land that he once occupied but now belongs to me. Like my health, I fought hard and believed God, and God has done so much. I've taken this land back inch by inch by inch by the grace and glory of God. And in a little while, he's going to be shoved completely off my land. And I'll look for him. I'll look carefully for him. I'm not going to find him there because this is mine. Jesus won it for me. And I pray that for you, that in the places where there's been hardship and heartbreak, that there would be an abundance of peace for you because you continue to contend and trust God. So I just pray, Lord, show us the lies we picked up when life let us down. Show us the ways the enemy has stolen from us right under our noses. Show us the land that you want us to get back that belongs to us because we belong to you. Show us, Lord, and help us to lay hold of it, even if it's an inch at a time, in Jesus' name. Well, toward the end of last Friday's show, I walked through this faith statement, the faith declaration that I made in Strong in Battle. But I want to walk through it again, but a little slower this time so you can kind of get a visual of what this looks like. First, I'll just read it through. Then I'm going to take it kind of line by line. But here it is. I love it. As a citizen of the heavenly kingdom, an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ, filled with the Spirit of the living God, I speak with precision. I pray with power. I walk in authority. I am blessed and beloved, bold and brave, called and courageous. Actually, it's supposed to say, I am anointed and appointed. I'm blessed and beloved. I'm bold and brave. I'm called and courageous. Because I know God is with me, I will triumph over my enemy. And I will stand with Jesus on that final day. So when I pray this through, if I'm feeling a little battered in my own battles, I just sort of take my stand and I picture myself kind of coming out from the shadows and stepping onto like this white platform where the light is shining and the presence of God is tangible as a citizen of the heavenly kingdom. All of a sudden the lights turn on because you know what? Light dispels the darkness and the darkness can never extinguish the light of Christ in the earth because he's alive in us and the enemy can never extinguish Jesus' light. So just picture stepping onto this white platform. Just for me, I'm a visual, so that helps me. As a citizen of the heavenly kingdom. Now, as an heir of God, make that statement and just pause. And I want you to picture your Abba Father. And I don't know what kind of earthly father you've had, so maybe it's hard for you to imagine God as the Father. And sometimes people will say, well, then maybe, you know, see him as the king and the judge or whatever. But I say, no, you keep pursuing him as father because that knowing him as the loving father he is will actually heal wounds in you more than anything else. I mean, so much of the heartbreak and the fracturedness of our society is fatherlessness. And so this shouldn't be a workaround for us. We're his children. He is a judge, but he is God and he's a loving and good father. So as you step onto that platform as a citizen, you are a citizen of the heavenly kingdom and then an heir of God. I want you to picture your Abba Father coming up next to you, this dignified king, wrapping his arms around you and giving you a big old kiss on the top of your head, just loving you up like an affectionate father would. I sit with that for a little bit. I don't march through this faith statement quickly because I want to just soak in the reality of each of these biblical statements. as a citizen of the heavenly kingdom, an heir of God. He's wrapping you up. He's giving you a kiss on the head. He loves you. He's for you. And suddenly you're strengthened. And the next line, a joint heir with Christ. Jesus comes on the other side and he's got a big smile on his face. I picture Jesus with a hilarious sense of humor because, you know, humor didn't originate in our heart, you know, it did in God's heart. He invented belly laughter. And I just have this feeling Jesus cracked the disciples up around the bonfire, but he's a joyful Jesus. You know, the angels are a joyful assembly around Jesus in this very moment. So I want you to picture him smiling, so glad to see you, so for you. So you got the Father on one side wrapping you up, just so affectionate. And then Jesus stepping in on your other side. You're flanked and he's smiling and he's wrapping you up in a hug too. Can somebody tell me, does this resonate? Does this help you? Or am I just talking to the space? Because it strengthens me so much. Okay, and the third, so an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ, filled with the Spirit of the living God. So you got the Father God on your right. You got Jesus on your left. And the Holy Spirit comes up behind you and just encircles you with his power and the sense of God's presence. You're surrounded by this Holy Trinity. And imagine your life just suddenly lighting up. And you realize you're more spiritual than physical because you're a child of God, an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ, filled with the Spirit of the living God. And therefore, you all start to walk together. You move forward in sync because you're walking in the Spirit. You're not fulfilling the desires of the flesh. And then it says here, I speak with precision. You know, one of the verses that I've been praying for forever, it's from Psalm 31, I think, and it says, she opens her mouth with skillful and godly wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. And then I think in Isaiah, it says, I have a tongue of the learned, a tongue of the wise. I know the word that sustains the weary. I speak and captives are set free. I mean, I rehearse those passages all the time. So as you start to remember that you're in Christ, you're surrounded by his presence, filled with his presence, surrounded by his power, and you speak with precision and you pray with power. The prayers of the righteous accomplish great and powerful things. So often, we think we're praying to the sky and we're throwing noodles up in the air and hoping some of them stick. But you know what? When you are walking in the righteousness of Christ Jesus, when you walk in the fear of the Lord and you honor him, you do what he says, your prayers change things on earth. Your prayers change things on earth. They're powerful. So I speak with precision. I pray with power. I walk in authority. That's Luke 10:19. I am anointed and appointed. Jesus says, I've appointed you to bear much fruit. I am blessed and beloved. You couldn't be more loved if you tried. And you're blessed with all the riches of the heavenly realm. You're bold and you're brave. God has called you to boldness. Paul says, because we have this hope, we can be very bold. And he makes you brave. You're called and you're courageous. Ephesians 2:10. You are called. You're a masterpiece created anew in Christ Jesus to do the wonderful things he planned for you long ago, and he calls you, be strong, be courageous. Don't fear, don't be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so, because I know God is with me, I will triumph over my enemy, and I will stand with Jesus on that final day. I think there's something so powerful when you're under fire and the enemy's spewing his threats, and you don't see evidence of God being on the scene at the moment. If you imagine, you picture yourself standing with Jesus, because nothing can separate you from his love. Nothing can separate you. The enemy knows this is true, so he tries to create this illusion of getting between you and God's love, between you and your identity, but he can't do it. Nothing will separate you. So you're blessed, beloved, bold, brave, called, and courageous. You because you know God is with you, you're going to triumph over your enemy, and you're going to stand with Jesus on that final day. We'll be back in a minute.
And that's enough.
If you're feeling in the battle or under fire, you're not alone, and we're glad you're with us today. I'm Susie Larson, Susie Larson Live, and every Friday of this month, this is our fourth Friday, we've been walking through the content of my new book, Strong in Battle, Why the Humble Will Prevail. And first of all, thank you, Lisa, Leanne, Judy, Sherry, Karen, Susan, all you for texting in. Just helps me so much to know that, I mean, I'm such a visual person, so I've been painting these visual pictures, but I'm so glad to know these girlfriends are feeling the same way. And Steve, for your email or your text as well. This time today, this show, we're talking about it's time to trust him more. And I know there are differing opinions about dreams, but because I think there's a biblical basis for those, Kevin and I started praying years ago that God would speak to us in our dreams. And as someone who's battled in varying levels with sleep, just horrendously, once in a while when God gives me a vivid dream and I wake up not only encouraged, but informed, it's almost like it doesn't matter what anybody says, because if I find it backed up in scripture, I'm going with it. I'm going to write it down, and it's not doctrine, but it's information. It's insight. You know, scripture says, even at night, my heart instructs me. So, all that said, I want to say we've got a handful of copies of Strong in Battle to give away before I share this dream. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. First, I'll read a Louis Giglio quote that I include in this chapter, Guard Your Heart. And the subtitle of this chapter is Stay Engaged. But Louis says this, this is your new identity. You're a son or a daughter of God. You're a child of the King. You are written into God's will, and you're an heir of everything God has. You are a beneficiary of the lavish love of God, which has changed you from failure to family. Grace not only cancels guilt and shame, grace redefines you. Don't you love that? You're a beloved family member of God. And because of that, you're given a seat at the table with Almighty God. So here again, I'm going to read about this dream that I'd had 15 years ago. I still remember it today. And like I said, I've struggled my whole life with sleep issues. So when I fall into such a deep sleep, this was probably one of the most detailed dreams I've ever had. So I want you to picture the following scene kind of unfolding before your eyes is like you're watching a movie, because that's what it was like for me. Battalions of soldiers are assigned to their posts. All these troops are sent to the front lines to push back enemy forces and gain ground in the war, all but one group. This particular battalion was stationed in a remote area away from the front lines in a heavily wooded forest. Their instructions were to set up base camp, practice their drills, keep their weapons cleaned and ready to use, stand guard, stay alert, and allow no intruders. That was it. Allow no intruders. Stay sharp, stay agile, and allow no intruders. In due time, they'd trade spots with another battalion, but they needed to be battle ready. And at first, they did exactly what was instructed of them. The soldiers built sturdy blockade walls. They sparred with each other. They practiced hand-to-hand combat. They ran through agility drills with ferocity, and they checked their weapons daily. They stayed fit, and they kept an eye on things outside the perimeter. Eventually, though, they couldn't see the point of it all. The troops lost focus. They let their guard down. One day, while the soldiers all sat sleepily up against a circle of trees, a little girl wandered into the camp, and grateful to have something to do, they gave her a snack and they kicked the ball around with her. Well, eventually her mother came looking for her, and she repeatedly thanked the soldiers for their kindness. She then invited them back to her village for a meal as her way of saying thank you. Well, the soldiers looked at each other, shrugged their shoulders, and said, sure, why not? What a great time they had, too, sitting around the bonfire with their new friends. They didn't think twice about leaving their equipment, supplies, and intel back at the camp. Visits to the village became a regular occurrence, and several times over decadent meals, the village people asked their new friends to tell them stories of their military exploits. They jumped right in with tales of intrigue and danger, and they added a little embellishment here and there. The soldiers frequently overate and drank too much, stayed up too late, slept in too long. They enjoyed the revelry but felt sluggish during the day. It didn't seem to matter, though, because they weren't aware of any impending threat. One day, the local women asked if they could wash the soldiers' uniforms and offered them civilian clothing to wear in the meantime. Well, the soldiers happily accepted. They were grateful for the help, and when the day was done, they headed back to the base camp dressed like village people. Over the next few days, the women offered one reason after another why they didn't have their uniforms ready. The soldiers trusted their new friends and, frankly, just weren't too worried about it. Well, several days passed before the soldiers realized they hadn't heard anything from the locals. No visits, no children, nothing. No invitations to dinner. They decided to scope out the village, only to find it emptied and abandoned. Curious, they headed back to their spot in the woods. By the time the soldiers turned civilians returned to their base camp, they were under heavy fire and totally unprepared. In a matter of minutes, the whole base camp and all its soldiers were lost. This is in my dream. Can you believe it? What the soldiers never realized was that the village people were planted by the enemy. Their assignment was to infiltrate the camp and lull the soldiers into a passive, distracted state so the enemy could take them out when the time was right. These unarmed village people walked right into a military base camp and found no resistance whatsoever. Why? Well, because the soldiers minimized the importance of their assignment. And since the soldiers felt no immediate consequence for their passivity, they weren't convinced that they were vulnerable. I want you to hear that again. Since the soldiers felt no immediate consequence for their passivity, they weren't convinced that they were vulnerable. Apathy and passivity. These put us at risk because it makes us vulnerable to the enemy's distractions. It puts others at risk because we leave undone what ought to be done. And it causes spiritual atrophy. Our spiritual muscles go flabby from lack of engagement. Apathy is a lack of interest, enthusiasm, or concern for the things that matter deeply to God. Passivity is acceptance of what happens without active resistance, no matter the cost to the individual or to God's greater purposes on the earth. Apathy and passivity are the antithesis of kingdom life. Apathy sets in when we think too much of ourselves, our comforts, our conveniences, and not enough of God and his heart for the world. Passivity sets in when we think too little of ourselves and our calling. Passivity urges us to take the path of least resistance because we don't think we can do hard things, but we can and we must. When we so distance ourselves from God's heartbeat for the world that we overindulge to the point of apathy, the enemy infiltrates our camp and sets us up for failure. Passivity also paves the way for the enemy invasion because we place a higher value on comfort in the moment than on the God-given purpose for our lives. Like Esau, it's like trading our birthright for a bowl of soup. God calls us to diligently guard our yard, our hearts, from all kinds of toxic influences. And many books have been written on that topic, but I don't think we pay enough attention to the cost of apathy and passivity. Probably because, as with the soldiers in my dream, we don't feel consequences right away. Ephesians 6:13 says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand." The word withstand in that verse is translated in the Greek antihistamine, almost like antihistamine. It's antihistamine, I think it's how it's pronounced. The verb suggests vigorously opposing, bravely resisting, and standing face to face against an adversary, standing your ground. I want you to think about that. Bravely resisting, standing face to face, going, "You cannot have my family. You cannot have my health. You cannot have my nation. You're not going to destroy our culture enemy." And remember who our enemy is. It's not people. It's not flesh and blood. It's the enemy. But he's a thief, and he's stealing all day long everywhere. But when we guard our hearts and we see the vision and the value of our lives, well, then suddenly things start to change. We need to contend for the promises of God. Kevin Butcher wrote this: "One day we don't need to trust his love any longer because we'll be in the presence of our one great love. After endless years of trying to see him through the haze and mystery of life's unanswerable questions, we'll finally see him as he's always seen us, face to face. On that day, suffering, tears, death, and mystery itself will be no more. The long journey will be over. At last, sons and daughters of God will be home." I want to take an early break here, and when I come back, I've got another story to tell you, and I'm going to just hopefully encourage your faith, pray for you. And if you're in battle right now, let me know. What do you need? How can we best pray for you? I want to know. You can text me 877-933-2484.
Hey, this is Carmen LaBurge, host of Mornings with Carmen on the Faith Radio Network. I'm seeking to reconnect the eternal with the everyday. I do that in part through conversations about today's relevant issues, hopefully helping to equip you to bring Christ back into every conversation in your life. You can subscribe to my daily podcast at myfaithradio.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Even if the sun drops out of the sky, even if the stars stop shining at night, even if the drummer stops keeping the time, if your hands are in mine, I won't stop dancing.
Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live. This is our fourth Friday. We're walking through the content of my book, Strong in Battle, Why the Humble Will Prevail. And the specific focus this hour, this show today, is just it's time to trust him more. And part of that is getting rid of apathy and passivity. It's just so easy to shrug our shoulders, to think, you know, it's never caused me trouble before. It probably won't cause me trouble now. And the idea that we just leave our doors and windows open for the enemy to rob us blind. But when we actively engage and go, wait a minute, I see vision for my life. I see God has a plan, and I'm going to engage my faith and do the hard thing at times, practice self-restraint, pull down the promises of God, stay actively engaged as a citizen of heaven. You know, we have a part and God plays a part. In the end, it's worth it. You know, if you don't give up, if you don't get weary in well-doing, in due time, you'll reap a harvest. So I don't know if I've told this story on the show before, but you know, I have three sons, amazing sons. They're in their 30s now. They're amazing men. I love them so much. And Luke, our middle one, I used to joke that I got most of my speaking material from him when he was young, because he was a super strong-willed kid. And he bears no evidence of that now. He's this gentle giant. He's so much like his father. But when he was little, he had this big round belly and double chin and just so feisty and stubborn. And he just thought he was the boss as a toddler. You know, I'd be like, it's over here on the right. No, it's on the left. You know, I'd say stand up and he'd sit down. And, you know, it was a constant battle of the wills with this boy. I love him so much. But anyway, we lived on this cul-de-sac, which was nice, but the end house at the end of the cul-de-sac, their backyard backed up to like a 55-mile-an-hour really busy street, which people always went faster than that. So it wasn't exactly safe. And so, I had a doctor appointment, I think it was, one day, and my top three babysitters were not available. And so I had a friend who had a friend who had a friend whose daughter was available. So I'm like, she'll do, because I had to get to the doctor. And when I come back from the doctor, I see this babysitter. She's got my one-year-old Jordan in the little stroller, pushing him around the cul-de-sac. I see my 5-year-old Jake pushing his little pretend lawnmower around in the front yard. But my 3-year-old stubborn little toddler was nowhere to be seen. This is a true story. I drive up and she's as lackadaisical as can be. Hey, how'd it go? And I'm like, hi, where's Luke? And she literally did this, which she shrugged her shoulders and said, I don't know. He was just really hard to keep track of. I'm like, what? You lost my human? He's a human. You lost my baby? You know, and I ran through the houses, ran right towards the busy street. And he was, I don't know, something like 20 feet away, sitting in the grass, pulling up the grass, letting it flutter. And I scooped him up and I kissed him and I hugged him. And, you know, it's like no wonder the girl didn't have any gigs, you know? I mean, really? Come on. You couldn't keep track of him? When I look at that man now, he's an oak of righteousness. And, you know, he gave us a run for our money, truly. But you know what? When he graduated from high school, he said the best thing. He said, Mom, Dad, I know I challenged you guys at times when I was young, but he said, you never made me feel like a problem child. You always made me feel like I was worth the effort, that if I could learn to submit to authority and to love God and follow Jesus, there's no end to what I could do. And he just hugged us and thanked us. And that stubborn thing just kind of went away. But when I look at his life now, I could literally cry, because I think, I think Luke's life in that story is an analogy of how we approach the promised life sometimes, where we shrug our shoulders, it's just too hard, and so we won't fight for it. But if you don't have a vision for the future and the fruitfulness of your calling, it won't be worth fighting for. But Luke was worth it. He was worth fighting for. When I look at the people that he blesses and the impact he makes in his place on the world, he's worth it. And so I actually asked him to call in, and I just want to interview him for a moment. He's been on the show before with his wife, Kristen, but I just want to have him on for this story. Hey, Lukey, are you there?
Hey, I'm here.
Hi. Hi, hon. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Mama?
I'm good. It's so good of you to join me today. And I just want people who've never met you, tell me about your life. I mean, you've got a pretty amazing life.
I do. It's a really amazing life. Things are just going awesome. There's the journey's been tough along the way, and good and everything like that, good and bad and everything. But yeah, my beautiful, amazing bride and I, we started dating at 16 in 10th grade, and we dated for 5 years, got married at 21, and we just celebrated our 13th wedding anniversary this summer in June. That is the best gift I've ever been given, is my amazing wife. And we are just super happy. We hit a really rough patch, and we talked about that on the show one time, and around year eight or so, and eight or nine, and went to counseling and worked through that. And we were closer than ever and happier than ever. We never imagined we could have as happy of a marriage as we do now. Of course, nothing's perfect, but it was through those hard times that we learned to grow, and we learned to communicate and to love each other better. It's just wonderful.
A big part of that is you're both very serious followers of Christ. And when you even went to counseling, you went to biblical counseling through your church, and both of you, that's when I really saw you guys get a hold of God's word. And now his word trumps everything. And I mean, I've watched you guys flourish, but you play on the worship team at your church, and you're a business mm-hmm. owner. I mean, you got other aspects of your life where there's just fruit coming out of it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. Well, it's kind of one of those funny things. I'm a how stuff works guy, and there's kind of I like to take things apart and learn how they work. And I think there was parts of that personality that came out. Mm-hmm. I'd take apart and break things that I maybe wasn't supposed to, but I learned a lot, and it's been good for me. But anyways, I like to think about that in terms of life too. And there's kind of this kind of point in my 20s, I feel like, where I just realized, I'm like, well, you can put time, you know, weekends and evenings and all this different time, you can put times into things that aren't fruitful and that don't help you build the life that you want, or you can put time into things that help you build the life that you want. And so that I spent a lot of time thinking about the kind of life that I want, the kind of life that we want, Kristen and I, and we both just, we're both really similar. We're both really wired that way, where we want our time to be productive and fruitful. And so we put lots of time into our marriage, whether that's an intentional conversation or just trying to really nurture and foster a relationship where we just laugh a lot, and it can feel, especially when the house is more tense than it is not, which we've had those years. And it can be really hard to kind of try to foster laughter because it feels awkward and like it should be more natural. But when you push through that, you end up laughing more naturally, and then you are closer because of it, and life is lighter. And then things like, yeah, I've always wanted to be a business owner, and I just kind of decided a little over a year ago, why not me? Why not now? And Kristen and I, she actually pushed me to go for it even sooner than I was feeling ready. I kind of am slow moving on some things, but she pushed me into it too. And it was kind of like, this is right, and went after it. And It's just been such an amazing journey to just dive in together with my partner, my life partner and everything, and to where we're both just going after the Lord, and we're both just wanting to build the life that we want, and with him at the helm and with him leading with his peace and everything. Yeah, it's just been
beautiful.
It's just been phenomenal.
Honey, one more question for you. I often ask my guests this question at the end of the show. What do you know about God now that you didn't know even 5 years ago?
Oh, that's a good question. I feel like what comes top of mind, because I feel like it's just what we've experienced even as recent as this week, I think the more great you realize God is, and the more great I realize he is, and the more reverence I have for him, the more I'm astonished by his kindness and his close proximity, nearness to us, because it's easier to expect somebody to be kind, you know, just at the grocery store or something like that, because Minnesota nice is a real thing. Most people are pretty kind if you just talk to them. But when you really like understand how incredible and how mighty and how great God is, it's that much more amazing to know how close he is and how kind he is to us, and the things that he does for us and gives us that we don't deserve. There's no reason he needs to go as far as he does, because he's God, to make us happy or comfortable. And not that he does that just to make us comfortable. He gives us good things because he loves us, and he takes away good things to teach us things, I think, sometimes too. But there's just ways that he really, I feel like he goes above and beyond and blesses us with things and good days and energy when we need it, and the right people and conversation. And it's not just about our basic needs. He wants to grow and nurture our heart and our soul. And it's just, I think it's just so, he's so kind that way. And
yeah, that's amazing. What I'm thinking of is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, as you've been thinking about the reverence of God, you become more and more wise, because as the more we revere him, the greater the capacity to actually know him. So that is so precious, honey. I just thank you for the, I mean, you're so worth fighting for. And it really wasn't that, I mean, it was like a few extra timeouts in the timeout chair. It's not like, not like you gave us too big of a run, and I'm plenty feisty enough, but I mean, even so, you're worth the fight, because you're, I mean, the impact you're making in all the different spheres that God has you is so precious. Yeah. I really honor the way you've stewarded your life and led and loved your wife and the way you follow Jesus. So thank you. Thank you for calling in today, hon.
Oh, of course. I'm glad that you asked me to. I was about to respond that you're not the boss of me, but I figured I'd probably try to be more more mature for this, huh?
That's true. Kristen's the boss of you, just to be clear.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding.
No.
Totally kidding. Anyway, thank you, hon. Yeah. Have a great day. Give your bride a hug for us, okay?
Okay. Love you, Mom.
Okay. Love you too, honey. Wow, that's just precious. But anyway, I feel like that's such a great word picture, don't you think? Of, I mean, he was a little stinker when he was little and could get away. But for her to give up because he was just too hard to keep track of. I'm just asking God, show us, are there places and promises and parts of our destiny that we shrugged our shoulders and let the enemy march into our camp and steal it from us because we just didn't feel like having our dukes up? I'm thinking there are parts of your destiny that God fully wants to fulfill in your life. He wants to finish what he started. And I spent quite a bit of time in Romans 4 a number of years ago, and I wrote about this in Your Beautiful Purpose, but I also included this prayer in Strong in Battle, because I'm just saying that because someone's going to ask me. Here it is on page 195. But I looked at faith, because for me, this was many years ago, when I was hearing so many varying views on faith, as far especially with healing and symptoms, and pretend they don't exist. And laugh at the face of your symptoms. I'm like, that all sounds crazy to me. I want faith, but that seems like denial, you know. But then I found it in Romans 4. Abraham faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, but he did not waver in unbelief regarding the promises of God. I'm like, there it is. That's what it is. Because denial doesn't make it not exist, right? And so if you face the fact of the things that are going on, but you don't let it waver you in unbelief, because your more emphasis, your bigger emphasis is on the promises of God. That's faith. So I wrote a prayer based on Romans 4, based on basically Abraham's kind of testament of faith that we read about in Romans 4. So here it is. Without weakening in my faith, I will face the fact that there are many reasons I should not be able to fulfill the call of God in my life, but I will not waver in unbelief regarding the promises of God. No, I will be strengthened in my faith, giving glory to God, because I'm fully persuaded that God has the power and is able to do what he promised. Therefore, I put no confidence in my weaknesses or my symptoms or insecurities or whatever your thing is, because I put all of my hope in the power, authority, and faithfulness of Almighty God, who daily establishes his purposes with me. So will you shout it out with me? I am loved and I'm secure. I am healing. I am called. I am empowered. You can keep the music going, because I'm going to pray for some of these dear souls who've written in. This dear one says, please pray for my marriage. I've been praying and fasting for 7 months and we're separated. Oh my. Father in heaven, we lift up this dear listener. We lift up her husband. God, would you be the hound of heaven and go after him right now? Right now, I pray the walls would come down, the scales would come off of his eyes, that their hearts would tenderize towards each other, and they would get a vision that's worth fighting for. God, give them both a vision for their future that's worth fighting for. God, if apathy and passivity have come into the camp, we bind it now in Jesus' name and we banish it from their presence. We pray for activation, for faith, God, for vision, and for hope. I pray for a restoration story in this case in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. This one says, I'm in a battle right now for my physical health. I've got serious wound on my leg, going to a wound specialist. Every time I turn around, I'm getting wounded or injured. I want to be protected. I'm always in severe pain. Father God, we pray for this dear soul. We pray for an activation of her immune system. I pray for her white blood cells to become an army and march through her body and fight infection now in Jesus' name. Raise it up, Lord God. If there's anything she needs to strengthen her immune system, give them wisdom about what that is. But I pray that she'd feel protected by you and healed and strengthened by you in Jesus' name. And then for this dear one, can you pray for Nancy? The enemy's taking away her confidence about being able to perform her job as a college professor. Of course he is. The enemy is such a such a dirt ball. I mean, he really is going after really key people. And I pray for Nancy, God. I pray, Lord, lift her chin, awaken her heart, remind her of who you are and that you are able to fulfill your purposes in and through her, that it's so much more about your qualifying than us being qualified. It's more about your power than it is about our abilities, Lord Jesus. I pray you'd strengthen her and encourage her and give her a promise to hold on to, Lord Jesus. We thank you, God, that you are who you say you are. And you're going to do what you say you can do. Surround Nancy with encouragers. Keep her away from the discouragers. Strengthen her heart. Help her to set her face like flint and to keep marching and trusting that you're going to fulfill your purposes in her life, in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray you found some encouragement here today. You've been such a precious group to let me walk through this content. We love and appreciate you, and we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player and never miss a show.